Harper Audio presents So Pretty It Hurts, A Bailey Wegans Mystery by Kate White. Performed by Renee Rodman. 1. An old geezer of a reporter I used to work with once said that I had a rotten habit of biting off my nose to spite my face. An ex-boyfriend told me the same thing. And you know what? It's true. There have been more than a few times when I've tossed back a gift or stormed off in a huff, and on one occasion, I jumped out of a car in the rain and walked home alone, ruining the hottest shoes I ever owned. But I've rarely regretted it. The satisfaction I felt from making the big defiant gesture and seeing the stupefied expression on the other person's face has generally been worth the price. Soaked shoes are one thing, though, and a corpse is something else entirely. During a frigid week in early December, I bit off my nose to spite my face because of something the new guy in my life, Beau Regan, did. And I ended up in a big fat mess that involved all sorts of nasty things. A suspicious death, requests for kinky sex, my ass on the line at work, and a showdown with a killer who wanted to make sure I couldn't tell what I knew. In the end, I decided I'd have to behave more rationally when my knickers were in a twist. But I'm getting ahead of myself. The trouble started the week after Thanksgiving. Beau and I had been dating exclusively for about 2.5 months, seeing each other a few times a week. Over dinner that Friday night, Beau announced, out of the blue, that he needed to leave the next day for Sedona, Arizona, and would spend the next 8 or so days there, shooting extra footage for his new documentary film. Apparently, some people who hadn't been available before were suddenly available now, or something or other. But Beau's announcement had bugged me. It turned out that he had known for over a week that he needed to go, but had only shared the news at the last possible moment. Why? I'd wondered. To me, Beau had always seemed slightly mysterious and elusive, and just when I'd convinced myself that this was simply a perception created by those dark Heathcliffian eyes and longish brown hair, he was telling me that he had to head off on some vague-sounding trip, suggesting it wasn't perception after all. I didn't come right out and say I was annoyed, but he could tell, I'm sure, by my attitude. Of course, that wasn't the only reason I was testy as December rolled around. I'm a true crime writer, and in addition to my part-time gig covering celebrity crime for the Manhattan-based tabloid magazine Buzz, I'd been trying to hawk my recent book, a collection of articles I'd written called Bad Men and Wicked Women. The small publisher had put practically zilch into promotion and marketing, and my book was currently something like number 29,478 on Amazon, when I had the nerve to look. Failure always turns me into a grump. Beau called me as soon as he arrived in Sedona, and then called or texted every day after that. Things were friendly, but a little clunky. The week without him seemed to drag by, and I realized how much I had come to love his company, both in bed and out. Please, I thought, don't tell me I've fallen for someone who doesn't want to jump in with both feet just at a point when I do. On the Thursday morning before the Sunday Beau was due back, he sent me an unexpected text. May finish early and be back sat. We'll let you know. The message should have warmed the cockles of my heart, and trust me, the thought of falling onto a mattress with him one night sooner than planned made my cheeks flush. And yet, as I hurried toward the subway stop at Astor Place on my way to Buzz, I could feel my overall annoyance starting to swell. It was the last line that really bugged me. We'll let you know. So I should just hold open my Saturday night in case he made it back to town? Maybe I was wrong, but to me that sounded like a guy who didn't like to be pinned down himself, yet wanted to be sure I was.